Glad to be with you this morning. Glad to see all of your faces today. Palm Sunday is always a fun Sunday to be together, and so it is my pleasure to get to be up here. I had a couple questions this morning, so I just want to give you a short update. A couple people asked. Normally we do Northtown Outreach on the first Saturday of the month. We are pushing that back a week because of Easter. So if you would normally come to Northtown with us next week, don't show up because Justin and I will be resting up for Easter next week. And then we will be back there on the 11th. That's the right date, right? Yes. Got it right. Awesome. We're off to a good start. You guys ready for this morning?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I like the energy. Hey, I want to tell you something you probably already know, but in our culture, we like masks on our heroes and our villains, right? When we watch movies, we expect to see that kind of stuff. If you kind of do a quick Google search, you'll see that there are tons of masked people in our cultural references. And so from horror to superheroes, you have some in your mind, right? You're already thinking of those masked people in your mind, right? So horror to superheroes, strongmen to female temptresses. Why did I write that word in there? I have no idea. I even practiced this yesterday. That's crazy. But anyway, there's tons of masks all over our culture, okay? And so I have a favorite mask character. I'm sure all of you, like I said, you already have one in your mind. You're already thinking of one. I bet you wouldn't be able to guess what my favorite mask character is. And so I'm going to just tell you, we'll reveal it all together. So keep it in your mind what you think it is, and then we'll see if it's accurate or not. So this morning I give you Stanley Ipkiss, a.k.a. The Mask. Yeah, right? This was great. Jim Carrey is hilarious and brilliant in this role. He really is the master of the physical comedy game, and his energy and enthusiasm as the Mask was just unparalleled, especially for the time that he lived in. And so he just really brought this cartoonish character to life, which was perfect because he was this hapless bank teller in real life. And so this idea of him being this character was just so foreign to who he would have been in his everyday life. And so it does highlight for us, though, this important concept. And so there's no knowledge of identity or accountability when he is the Mask, right? He's this kind of anonymous character. And there's an author, Jo Ellen Posner, and she says this about our characters who wear masks. She says, "I think it is more notable that masks allow these characters to escape the constraints of societal norms. Because nobody knows who they are, they can act with impunity. They do not need to follow the rules because no repercussions can accrue to an unknown hero. And since they are acting in the public interest, you know, saving maidens and children and putting bad guys in their place, we are willing to live with their flouting of the rules, living on the margins of polite society. In fact, we might do the same were we protected from consequences if only we had a mask." I think Jo Ellen is so right here. I think we would absolutely live a very similar way if we had the chance to be that anonymous. And when you think about it, I think many of us have experienced this in our own lives. Think back to COVID, and I have a very COVID-era photograph here for you this morning. So this is June of 2020, and my rider had just won his first race of us working together, and so we're celebrating, but we have to wear masks outside, and there are no fans allowed at the racetrack, and so it is completely silent as we're, I know, right? It was the worst. We were like, yes, and we could hear everything. We sounded like idiots, you know? Right? And this is totally not what we're used to. Usually there's throngs of people around, there's celebration, there's champagne being popped, like there's this whole thing going on, and none of that happened. It was silent. It was so weird. It was probably the weirdest race win I have ever been a part of in my career. It was just not normal, right? And there was this sense of, we don't really know what's going on. And so there was this internal anonymity happening as well. This also happened when I first came back to Genesis in early 2021. I was still wearing a physical mask. Don't judge me, okay? There was a time, okay? Hang in there with me, because I was traveling all the time and I desperately didn't want someone to get sick because of me, because I'd been in an airplane with someone else who was sick or whatever. And that was fine. But it was also easy for me because it was hiding. It was this physical way of hiding this invisible mask that I was also wearing. Because I was coming back to church for the first time in a year. And I had been hurt and wasn't happy about what had been going on in my life before that. And so it was covering up the mask that I was wearing to say, oh yeah, everything's fine. When inside, I was like, I am broken and I'm mad and I'm angry. And God's no good right now to me, and I'm not even sure if I like other people. And my guess would be that I am not the only person who's ever walked through those doors wearing a figurative mask. Amen. So the truth is this morning, many of us walk in here, maybe even today, wearing a mask to try to escape the knowledge of our identity or to leave behind the accountability that we can see kind of living on the margins of our lives. And some of us are so desperate that we even believe that that could be possible, that we can remain hidden from God and from other people, especially the people in this room sometimes. And I see your smiles, I see what we're doing together in worship, and it is so good because this time of year, we desperately need this reminder of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us, that he came to intervene for us. But we're also hiding the things inside of us that are saying, I'm a little broken, I'm a little wounded, I'm a little damaged, or maybe you're more than a little. Maybe you're near death or dying inside today. Maybe your polite civility is not who you really want to be in this moment. Maybe you're saying, I just have this stuff that is aching to get out. I want you to hear this first of all. I'm so glad that you are here. If that is you, if that is what you're struggling with, I'm not glad that you're struggling, but I'm glad that you are here to hear that God cares and there is a different way forward, that we can live fearlessly and brave in confidence. There is freedom for us this morning, and so that's what we're going to talk about. But I want to ask each of us this morning, what mask are you wearing? What mask are you wearing today? And while you're pondering that question, you can be opening your Bible up to Matthew chapter 6. You can also grab your phone and navigate to the YouVersion app, and all of our slides will be there, and you can also take notes, you can highlight impactful things to come back to, and at the end of all of our notes, there will be some follow-up questions that you can think about this week, maybe if you're in a group, or if you need some ideas for ways to process through what we're gonna talk about today with your family or your friends as well. So in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is continuing his very famous Sermon on the Mount, and he is about to transition from talking strictly about attitudes and motivations to the practice of actually putting those into our lives. And so he starts by saying, watch out! And I gotta think, like, Jesus has been delivering this kind of monologue, and if this is all the way through, I think Jesus is trying to get people's attention right here, right? He's not saying watch out, like, watch out. I think Jesus is like, hold on. Because if you think you've got all the attitudes right, hold on, I'm about to blow your mind, right? I'm about to rock your world with what I'm about to tell you here. So he continues, watch out. Don't do your good deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do. Listen, Jesus is saying, don't try to do things to look good, to look religious, to look put together. The reality is that it's an empty shell that has nothing to do with real life. You're just like an actor putting on a character on the stage or on the screen, and it's not the real thing. It's not the genuine article. You could do it really well, but you still will never be that character that you're putting on. You're just an exaggerated fake. And that's what hypocrites are. Jesus uses the word for an actor who wears a mask to play a part, to be something that they actually are not in real life. And that's fine. Performance art is a great thing. Movies are good. We just said The Mask, brilliant piece of acting. But performing good deeds in our everyday life is a pointless, meaningless pursuit, leaving us frustrated and angry, right? We know this many times in our lives. But there is a way to live in freedom and truth. The problem is it means that we have to give up the act. We have to drop the mask a little bit. We have to show that we are not perfect to God and to others and to ourselves, sometimes most of all. Jesus actually gives us the recipe for this. In Matthew 22, he says, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. See, the only way to live truly well is to allow your heart to be transformed by God's love, and then love him back, and then love others equally, just as selflessly as we can muster. And listen, I know right now you're already like, yeah, but I'm a sinful, broken person. Yes, of course. We know we can never be perfect at this. But the problem is when we give up trying, when we just say, you know what, I'm going to phone this one in. I'm going to put on the mask and not go any further. That's not what Jesus is calling us to. That's not where we find what it is that we're looking for. So Jesus gives us a couple of examples as we continue in Matthew 6. And so he continues the thought by saying, "When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do. They would blow trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. But I tell you the truth, they have received." I want you to hold on to that phrase for just a moment. "They have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you." Jesus doesn't give us an option on giving. I don't know if you noticed that. He doesn't say if you give or you might think about giving. Jesus says when you give. He assumes that we are his people, and so we're going to follow his lead and be generous. And he's thinking not only just being generous, but like truly generous. What does it look like to be generous as a spirit movement instead of as a performance act, as a fake friend? This idea of have received is the words that he's using is like paid in full. It's as if you walked into a store, you said, "I need to buy this thing from you, and I'm going to pay in full, and I've gotten the receipt, I've received my thing, and I'm going to walk out and live my life." And that's what he's talking about. God is either going to give you his reward, or what's happened in your life, depending on your attitude, will be your reward. And so Jesus actually points out three different ways that we can have an attitude in our giving. And the first is if we seek praise from other people. If we're looking for earthly thanks and applause, then that's your reward. And that's it. That will be all that you get. It's the only reward you find when you're just playing at this kind of fake friendship. And sure, you've probably blessed the other person if you've given them something that they needed and you've helped them to accomplish something, you've helped them to be something, but your motivation has tainted it. This idea of, I need your thanks in order to feel good about this or in order to be motivated to even give in the first place, means that that's not the way, right? You have earned everything that you needed, and so now you are complete. Ugh. Jesus talks about the Pharisees in John 12. He says, for they loved human praise more than the praise of God. Ah, that is an ugly mask, right? That is an ugly, ugly mask. But here's the second attitude. This idea that we congratulate ourselves on our giving, where we pat ourselves on the back. In verse 3, Jesus says, don't even allow your left hand to know what your right hand is. What does he mean by that? How does my left hand not know? Well, it's this idea that I can only give, I can only muster up the reason to give by saying, ah, you did it. You did the thing that you're supposed to do, and now you can feel good about yourself. Now you can sleep well at night because you have met the need. Do you see how that subtly, it's like, well, yeah, I should feel good about giving. Sure. But if that's the motivation to give, that that's the only way that you can possibly give, you have replaced yourself in the place of fulfilling the need that God has brought to you. This is a sneaky way of saying like, well, it's my ability. It's my way of contributing. It's me, my. Do you hear that? What is that? Is that pride? Yeah. Some of you mentioned it, right? And what did we learn about pride last week? Man, pride is a sneaky little killer, right? It'll worm its way in there. And sometimes we're like, oh, shoot. But we often see this in other people, if we're honest, right? If we look around at our family and friends, sometimes we're like, man, that's quite a little braggart mask that you got going on with you right now, you know, right? Because, of course, we would never say, oh, yeah, here's some money so that you'll feel good and I'll feel good and we'll all be good. Instead, Jesus says, unmasked, authentic giving simply gives because God has invited you to meet a need. You hear about a need and you give. It is an act of obedience to the invitation that God is making to your life. See, masked people need the congratulations of the self. They need the applause of others. But generous, unmasked followers of Jesus live satisfied with what they have. And they see moments of need as an act of mercy and love and a way to bless someone else because God has so generously blessed them. There's nothing wrong with accepting a thank you graciously. Jesus is not saying, don't accept the thanks. Jesus is saying, don't depend on, don't require, don't demand the thanks in order to remain actually selfless. He continues in verse 5. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. And Jesus is pivoting to prayer here, which is another display that the religious elites used to show off how awesome they were, right? And so we often, I've heard this talked about as like, oh, I have to have a prayer closet. I have to have a place to go. I have to have a physical place where I can go in and shut the door and no one can see me praying. Don't miss what Jesus is saying here. Jesus prays out loud in groups. He teaches them to pray Our Father, like the hour. That's multiple people together. Jesus is not saying the only authentic prayer is a prayer given, excuse me. Jesus is not saying that the only authentic prayer is a prayer given in quiet. He is saying that your heart and motivation have to be right, no matter where you are praying. And again, the hypocrite prays, they had to go out into the streets to pray because their ego needed someone to go, man, you sound really wise. You sound amazing when you pray like that. I wish that I could pray just like you do. Jesus is actually saying, look, don't parade yourself around. You look foolish. when you do this. And not only that, but you aren't connecting with God, because what you're doing is showing off to other people and saying, love me. And God's like, no, I don't want anything to do with that. Instead, Jesus reminds us that we all pray, or we should all be praying, and that we need to do it to focus our hearts and minds and our lives on our Creator and Sustainer of life. And just like giving, our desire should be a connection and a meeting place with God to get our focus onto Him and off of ourselves. And this is why many scholars believe that Jesus is not only not advocating for a physical room, but He's actually talking about the spiritual room that exists inside of you, where you hold on to your spiritual treasure, where all of the skills and the abilities that you learn in connecting with God lives. There is a place in you where this develops. And this is the place that Jesus is talking about. He's like, don't enter the selfish part of your life. Enter the place where your spiritual meetings with God happen on a regular basis. Find a way to speak to God in truth and authenticity with your life. Don't try to trick God and others into meeting your selfish, prideful needs. Instead, just be honest and clear and genuine in this moment. Psalm 27 has this really great example. It says, hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. And look at what he says here. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Do you see this invitation in your life? Do you hear this way of God speaking to you? God's not judging you, saying, you better come and pray to me or else. God's saying, come meet with me. Come hang out with me. Come spend some time with me. Does your heart go, yes, I get to meet with God today, right now? Like, this is where you want to be, God? With me? I'm there. That's what Jesus is talking about, not locking yourself away. This morning, I think we need to address some additional ways that we wear masks, because these two are important. They're very important. But sometimes we can go, yeah, I'm not so bad at those. Okay, well, hold on to that, you know. But I've got 10 other ways, 10 other signs that you might potentially be living masked up this morning. And so even if you've already identified, you know, prayer or giving as an area, there's one or two more of these that you're going to go, oh, that hits a little close to home, right? And I don't want you to say, well, I need to absorb all 10 of those. You don't, okay? But God is going to invite you to one or two this morning, and you're going to go, okay, I'm going to work on that this week with you, Jesus. So here we are, the first five. Number one is superficial actions. And this is the idea that we have these performance behaviors that happen in our lives. We try to do things, and ultimately, they're trying to make us look good, and they're often opposed to our real faith or our real beliefs, right? And so they're these ways of interacting with the world where we're like, don't see too deeply inside to who I am. Second is seeking human approval, right? Pretty self-explanatory. But this is often to the detriment of our relationship with God. Like, I have to do these things, so I'm just going to turn off my attention to Jesus for right now, and I'm going to do this thing so that other people will like me. Public displays of religion. So this is like what we've been talking about, praying or giving or maybe speaking up in a group to try to get the group's approval or favor, instead of having a real, genuine connection with God in the midst of it. A judgmental attitude, none of us would ever have this. Nobody here would have an overly critical attitude or make those kind of snide comments about other people. Inconsistency, this is one I was like, ooh, that hurts a little bit. And this is the idea that we can be hot and cold, not only with God, but also with other people, where we're like, oh, love me, oh, leave me alone, right? And no one ever knows which person they're going to find. I told Ryan after last week, that was really rude. And this was one of the areas that I was like, pride? Yes. Yes. This is in me too, right? We are in this together. All right, so number six, how about a lack of depth? This is when we can't go deep. We can't be in a group of people and consider the ways that God is moving in us because we're like, ooh, don't go there. That's where my hurt lives. That's where my pain is, and I'm not touching that. So we just kind of check out for a little while. We're like, you can go there. I'm just going to have surface experiences with God. Self-centered motivation, it's all about you, baby, all the time. A reluctance to reflect. Hey, listen, reflection, introspection, this is really tough when we have things inside of us that are unresolved, that are unhealed. It's hard to go there. It's unnatural to deal with the things that are going on in our lives. It's hard to get up the courage to face it and say, I'm gonna figure this out with you, God. Similarly, a fear of vulnerability. We don't share. We don't tell people what the truth is that's going on in our lives because it would be too painful, because they might see who we actually are. They might know something about us that's a little too deep. And ultimately, it leads us to not having authenticity with anybody or with God. And finally, limited engagement. This is where we just kind of show up and we're like, all right, I'm okay. I'm all right, you're okay, but don't get too close. Don't ask me to commit to something. Don't ask me to put my life on the line for the group. The problem with all of these is that it limits our growth. It keeps us stuck. I want to ask you this question. Who are you under the mask? Are you an actor pretending to be satisfied with life and with the situations that you're in? More than that, is there any question? Is there any thought? Is there any motivation that would make it possible for you to give up the mask this morning? Is there a way for you to start living even more authentically? As the problem is this, we tend to think that our masks are going to save us. They'll save us from consequences. They'll save us from pain. They'll save us from owing anyone else anything. They'll save us from having to actually face our reality. And even though I knew better in 2021. There's still a part of me that believed that I could hide from God and people, even though I knew I was doing it. And the problem was I had to come to a place where I just came to grips with the fact that my mask was holding me back. And this is all of our reality. We have to come to grips with the fact that our masks hold us back. They keep us isolated. They keep us miserable. They actually prevent us from being healed. And we all have to wake up to it. So what is your mask this morning? Is it shame over your sin? Are you hiding something that's been done to you? Is it fear over being exposed? Or maybe you're controlling so that no one can see how insecure you actually are. Now, whatever false display it is that's going on in your life, it's not going to help you to get healthy. It's only going to keep you stuck and paralyzed and ultimately working so hard to hide your deficiencies that you have no room to think about healing. And that's the real problem. We have to drop the mask and confess what lies underneath it before we can start asking the question of, how do I live a better life? You can't approach this if you're unwilling to go to that place. Jesus does have good news for us this morning, and this is where I want to land the plane a little bit. In 1 John, John says, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. Amen. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Your hurt, your pain, and your sin are the darkness that John is talking about in this passage. And your useless and harmful mask is trying to keep you in darkness, not the light. Today is the day that you can finally start to give up your mask. And giving up your mask means that you have to let someone else and God see what lives underneath. It means being vulnerable, showing someone trustworthy what's been done to you, what you've done to others. Giving up the mask means taking a chance that God and all of us here at Genesis will still love you. Amen. After the truth comes out. Amen. It's the decision that I ultimately had to make to trust Pastor Ryan and the staff and all of you to say, okay, God, I believe that what you're doing in my life is the real thing. It's the invitation that's made to you. Yesterday morning, about a dozen men gathered in room 2 to read the Bible, to talk about our lives, to confess the ways that we're still stuck in some things in our lives, and then to pray together. It was awesome. It's exactly what John and Jesus are talking about in that passage when he says that we have friendship with each other in the light. That is real friendship in those moments, my friends. Those of you who participated in Rooted groups this year, yeah. Students in AMP. Dear friends moving, a meeting for coffee. This is what those moments are made for. This is what Jesus wants to do in our lives in those times. And it's the only way we're going to experience the fullness of who God is and the healing that we so desperately need in our lives is when we can get together and be real and authentic together. And if you're feeling stuck and wondering if there's more to life, this is the truth you need this morning. This is the only way to get unstuck. You can't do it by yourself. You need us. And we need you. This morning, give up your mask. This is the invitation that Jesus is making to all of us together. It's time to find a trusted friend and to confess what you have never told anyone before. Ask one of us on staff to meet and unearth those feelings that are no longer serving you well. This afternoon, get in a quiet place and quiet your attitude to meet with God and pour out all of your frustrations. Most of all, stop trying to fix yourself with broken, empty performances. Get real with who you are underneath. There is no judgment here. We're all wearing masks that we need to drop to one degree or another. And it doesn't matter whether the mask is hiding your sin or someone else's. The hurt is real, the shame is real, the regret is real, and the fact is that all of it is being used by the enemy to keep you stuck and to keep you disconnected from God. There's nothing he wants more than for you to keep that mask in place. Take the power away and give it where it belongs, to God who will heal you, who is ready to bring light to all of your darkness. The invitation to give up your mask stands. And this morning, I want you to do that for real right now. We're going to sing a song together that is a perfect example for you to say, okay, I can change my mindset to live more this way. Come out into the light from your hiding. Let us see who you are underneath that broken, empty mask and learn who God has made to be authentic and healthy together in community. Let's pray. Father, we confess that we need your hope and your light for our lives this morning. We've been carrying around the dark residue of sin and shame and regret. Give us courage to begin to give up the false masks that we've been wearing so that we look like we've got life handled. Reveal the lies we've told ourselves. Help us to be wise in who we allow to influence and define us. Remove the heaviness that tries to keep us trapped. Create in us a desire for truth, for healthy relationships for those around us, to love ourselves and others deeply, and to listen for your spirit at work in our hearts and minds. We know that only you carry the words of life that we so desperately need. And I pray that we would begin seeking those out in meaningful ways this week. Thank you so much for the reminder of Easter week that we can celebrate the ways you rescued us and you made us sons and daughters when we least deserved it. Give us courage, give us wisdom, and give us peace this week as we seek to give up the masks that keep us separated from you. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.